Shabbat Shalom out there to la-di-da-di and every other body. This is your host, Leanna Grace, just letting you know this is a pre-recorded episode. We will be back on the air, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise, on Monday with Empathic Channel, and we'll be bringing you some more truth here on Holistic Truth, part of a Nazarim Network broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, I am reminding you to, as always, to watch the signposts. Connect these dots, find your path, live in love, and do something good. And as we awaken the Azaf Dua, we will learn to forgive. Enjoy. Broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter, it's Leanna Grace Out Loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night, empowering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leanna Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. It'll be his time. Shabbat Shalom and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and good morning to some, afternoon to others, but a hearty hello nonetheless. And I want to welcome you tonight to Scriptures and Scuttlebutts here on Blog Talk Radio and through Holistic Truth. It is July 1st. It's the first day of July. Yay, go us. July 1st, 2022. And we are broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. I am your host, Leanna Grace. When the student is ready, the teacher appears, and I've had some learning to do and some catch-up time going on, guys, but, you know, I think we're doing all right so far, but it is still a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake, and about the business of the one thing. The Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the earth, and we diligently contend for the faith with Holy Spirit standing, waiting to be invited. The harlot is in the house and the thief is at the door, and it is time to come away from the tents, guys. We are at war. Make no mistake, and do not be deceived. We are in the middle of a big old spiritual battle, and we can't win the folks this battle alone, folks. You know, we're not in this battle by ourselves. We're going to win this by God. All right, we're going to win this by the faith of God. We're going to win this by the word of God. We're going to win this by our faith in God through Christ. So remember, too, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And guys, I want to tell you, God won. You know, most of you know some of the battle that's been going on underground and around the ground and behind the scenes and all that, and underneath and behind the back much, while the movie's been playing out on the world stage to unearth and unravel and show the truth of what's going on. And most of you know that a lot of the digital soldiers are working overtime right now to really try to get that truth out. And we've done this once before. We tried to push it through and push it through and push it through, and lo and behold, we got interrupted. And so we're on that cusp again, digital soldiers, and I'm going to ask you guys to continue to be diligent in your fight in getting the truth out there and around the media and put it in their face to where we cannot be ignored. I think the term we used was unignorable. Yeah, it doesn't matter whether it's a real term. We're going to use the term because I like how it sounds, so I'm going to use it, and I feel at liberty to do so. So remember, too, guys, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, pod people, we love you, too, to question everything. We're going to be cultivating a Berean attitude, right? A Berean attitude and a seeker's heart. And, yes, we have a scripture for that, right? We have a scripture for that. So in Acts 17:11, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and not just accepted what was said and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So we say the same thing on here, guys. I'm not here to tickle your ears. In fact, I have a lot to say that might just make you mad. And tonight, you know, some of our thinking is going to be called to task. We're going to explain some things about the power of prayer, the frequency of prayer. We said we were going to do that on Wednesday. We're going to start bringing all of these three broadcasts together on the same beat, whether we're talking about MAGA Monday, whether we're talking about Holistic Truth, or here on Scriptures and Scuttlebutts, because most of the scuttlebutts that are going on the world stage, we've got scriptures for that, right? So I'm not here to tickle your ears. But I do encourage you guys to hang out, to hang on nonetheless, and see if we can't put some truths together for this and see if there's a much bigger picture that has been painted. Well, we're going to try to paint it in here, guys, is being painted even now until the return of HaMashiach Naki, okay, until the one we call Jesus Christ returns. So research what you hear tonight and own your own experience. For now are the days of 2 Timothy 2:15, which tells us, and I'm going to tell people, even though we know it is not a perfect, it is not perfect, all right? It is the scriptures. There are things missing. There are some mistranslations. We're not going to be arguing that tonight. That's not what we're here for tonight. We're here to be in agreement tonight, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. In 2 Timothy 2:15, need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now understand, when you're studying to show yourself approved, you're studying to show yourself approved unto God. God's the one who's going to approve it. And once he's approved, then you know he's going to send you on a little mission. That's the way he seems to be working these days. So, and in Revelation 14:12, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. And that's all the way in the back of the book. That's in Revelation 14:12, so it must still hold weight to keep the commandments. I'm saying it. That's the way it is, right? I'm saying it. So we are here on the air, a network of believers in Christ, Yeshua called Jesus, HaMashiach Nagin. And that is the point of truth in which there's no compromise, the top tenet of this network as a whole, and I, as Leanna Grace, individually, as a matter of my profession of faith, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And this is what is so cool. It is a message of truth that is so powerful and so revealing of a mystery, so magnificent that no one can withstand it. Upon hearing the gospel, folks will either fight and flee or they will listen and become converted. That is the way the Holy Spirit works. It is a privilege to walk this road, and I want to thank you guys this evening for being a part of it. It is a very exciting time to be alive. Diligently contending for the faith. All right, so guys, we do know that change is upon us, and we're going to get into some of the meatiness of the change tonight. Change is upon us with every dimension and layer of change that we as a species and we the people can conceive, and on levels and dimensions. Oh, we're talking dimensions tonight that we cannot yet conceive and perhaps even imagine. And I want to remind folks that not all who are gifted in and of the light. I just want to put those little reminders up there. I'm going to scroll down here past some other scriptures because we got scriptures tonight. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about frequency. We're going to talk about our energy of our body that our soul uses to talk to God. Yeah, we're going to talk about all that. You know, on Wednesday night, we talked about how the darkness and the cabal and all the things that don't love God are trying very hard to interfere with our ability to communicate with God, right? And all the mechanical means and all the treachery that's going on. So I encourage you to listen to Wednesday night's broadcast as well. Tonight, we're going to go a little bit further. And I didn't know we were going to speak on this subject in this way this evening, but we're going to get a little sci-fi with our scriptures and scuttlebutts. So tonight, we might just be scriptures and scuttlebutts and a little sci-fi on the side. And even though it sounds sci-fi, it's not. It's science fact. It's not science fiction. But we're going to delve into some of the woo-woo stuff, some of the things that we were taught to be woo-woo, but in fact, it's actually quantum physics. It's science. It's tangible. It's measurable. It's detectable. It's repeatable. it's science, right? And those are the power of our prayers, for one. The power of our prayers. Now, what do the power of our prayers do? It does a whole bunch of things aside from bringing our petitions to God. But when we listen to the scriptures the way Christ told us, the way Jesus told us to pray, the first thing he says is to address, right? Our Father who art in heaven. Be very specific, because there's not any daddy up there, right? Our Father who art in heaven. And then praise him. Hallowed be thy name. And then his petition, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? That's a picture. This is what we want. We want our world to look like yours. And so give us our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Everything that's in there, we can repeat it, absolutely, if we're meaning all of the words. But everything that's in there is actually an outline of a way to pray. You address the Father in heaven, give him praise, acknowledge his dominion, you know, accept the fact that there's a petition that we'll have enough, petition to not be led into temptation in the evil one, but to protect us. And then again, acknowledging all of the power and the glory being God. And it becomes that simple. So the first thing that I want to speak about when we talk about the power of prayer is the power of humility. All right? The state of humility. Now, I do want to warn my listeners that outside the studio, there are some early fireworks going on, which is expected during this time of the year. So there might be a few booms. If that is, it could be followed by a few barks. If that is, we'll try to get it muffled as quickly as possible just so that we can continue on. All right. So in humility, our body chemistry tends to change. Right? When we get quiet and our breathing changes, and we'll become humble before God. Now, I'm not talking about the fearful humble when we're on our face and God's dealing with us, right? I'm talking about the humility to know that God's got this. It doesn't matter really what we want, what we don't want. God's got this. And it's about bringing our will into alignment with our Heavenly Father. And as we bring our will and our humility, our soul into humility, and our will into alignment with our Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven, then our frequency begins to change. It calms down, all of that. It's measurable, it's tangible. And then the pathway of communication can be open. Now, what interferes with it? Well, a lot of mechanical things can interfere with it. Does this mean that God's not powerful enough to speak through it? No, that just means that we're not necessarily powerful enough to hear. So if God has to get a megaphone, your body's going to feel the effects of it. Right? So there's times that God will use a megaphone to get your attention and kind of feels like your body got hit with an energy wave, right? Well, that's because at the frequency he was talking to you, nobody could hear. The power of prayer. God's always trying to get our attention. We're told that in Psalm 19. So if we look at the power of prayer and find out how important it is, if we do a search for the word pray, just pray, right? We find out that it's found 313 times in 306 verses. So that seems to be pretty important to God that we pray. It says, say, I pray thee, right? All of this. Some of it's a request. So when we're praying to God, it's a request. It says, I pray thee, say this. I pray thee, send me Godspeed. You know, say, I pray thee. And we're just going through some Genesis. I'm just going through a word search. I'm not going through the whole verses here. And I'm using the Interlinear Scripture Analyzer. Genesis 24:14, let down thy pray thee that I may drink. Genesis 24:17, to meet her, he said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water. Tell me, I pray thee, is there room? Give me, I pray thee. So in this, they're asking. It is a petition. It is a request. So I'm asking you, please. It's like, please. So when we bring our petition to God, you know, we acknowledge his ability, first of all, to even fulfill it. And I can't do this without you, God, so I'm bringing this to you, God, because I know that you can. And you can do anything. You own it all. You did it all, you know, accepting his dominion. And then that changes our frequency to one of gratitude, one of thankfulness, you know, because you can't lie to God. You can't put it on like, you know, you go to your parents and you're probably, I'm really sorry for what I did. And your parents are like, oh, okay, little Johnny, you know, it doesn't work that way with God. He knows our heart. And so as we speak, we must speak the truth. And oftentimes when we get into that habit of prayer, the only thing that we can do is speak the truth, and we hear our own words speak the truth about us, right? It's becoming honest with God and laying it out on the line, because he already knows our faults. He's waiting for us to, at one, admit them, and two, get over ourselves. You know, we hang this over the head, I'm the worst person in the world because I did this. Well, somebody else did something worse. You're not as good as this one, but you ain't as bad as that one. Now, does that matter for righteousness and for sin and salvation? No, not a bit. Not a bit. But we weigh it that way as human beings when we, and the adversary will attack us that way, right? To get in the middle of our happy frequency, to get in the middle of that. Now, why would that be? Why would it be so important for the darkness, the enemy, the adversary, those things that go bump in the night, and they're there, the monsters, right? We'll talk about that on another program, but those things that want us to be in a negative mindset, what could they possibly get out of it, right? Well, I want us to think for a minute, and I'm going to go ahead and give this to God. Let's go ahead and add a little prayer on this, as we're going to be talking about some darkness. So I want to go ahead and have Holy Spirit coming in and bringing the light so that we see it correctly and that we're not being fooled. Father, we just come to you now, and we thank you so much for the ability to speak the truth and to speak your word, and we appreciate the opportunity to be entrusted with the ability to do so. Father, I just pray now, I give this radio broadcast to you, and I lift it up to you that my words are only those words which you would have me to speak on this topic, Father, and that you would also imbue the listeners with the shield and the ability to hear at a distance some of the things that we'll be speaking about, as we're going to reveal some of the secrets of the darkness that the darkness doesn't want anybody to hear. We raise this up to you, Father. We ask your blessing for it, and we ask the blessings on all of the hearts and the minds that are listening to this, to keep their hearts enlightened, to keep their hearts full of joy, even though some of the things might sound sad. The purpose is to answer a question. So, Father, please, if it be your will, empower me and enlighten me to do so. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's going forward. The reason why we're talking about frequency and the reason why we're talking about the darkness and all of that stuff, understand that way back in Genesis, I'm just going to kind of lay this out here, guys. This is an old battle that modern day man is just now becoming aware of. So in this old battle, back in Genesis before the flood, right? There were all kinds of beings on the earth, not all of them. The scriptures say that all flesh had become corrupt. And they say, you know, the scriptures also tell us that there was, you know, evil in the hearts continually. And so it had to have been really bad. You know, we think it's bad now. It might have even been worse back then. So understand also that what it says in the King James scriptures, those that are canonized and the others, as well as in the book of Joshua, as well as in the book of Enoch, and it alludes to also in a little bit more detail in the book of Jubilees, that those Nephilim, those things that were unholy in their creation, all right, not just hybrided, but unholy in their creation with an unholy nephesh crossbred with angels and all of that, you know, they had an eternal spirit, God made them that way. Well, when the body died, where'd that spirit go? Well, the scriptures tell us that they became the wandering evil spirits. They became the wandering evil spirits. Now understand, before they were wandering evil spirits, they had bodies of flesh. They had tactility. They could feel things with their fingers. They could smell. They could taste. They could touch. They could eat. All of those things, all of the sensations, they could feel emotionally, maybe not the same way that we would imagine it. Could they love? Don't know. Doesn't say. It says there was evil in their heart continually. I'll have to believe the scriptures and what it says. And it does say that some of the giants began to devour not just everything that man made, but began to eat men themselves, right? So there's a lot of darkness going on. So why would it be important then, you know, so when the flood came and all of them died and then there's wandering evil spirits, how many? Well, however many there are. And the one thing that they want more than anything else is to be embodied into something, rather than being in the nether space, right? Rather than being wandering evil spirits. They can't taste, they can't touch, they can't smell, they can't feel, they can't any of those things. Not without a body that gives them the tactile sensation to touch, to feel, to smell, to touch, blah, 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 and all that. So, and of course, as a rule, there needs to be permission. There's a whole bunch of rules, a whole bunch of stuff. Free will is not supposed to be able to be, you know, impeded upon. And so there we have some more 4th of July going on. All right, so now we know that there are a bunch of evil spirits that inhabit planes that we don't necessarily see because they vibrate at a frequency that's not detectable to the eye. I mean, that's just, you know, we have to accept that as a premise. Let me clear my throat. And it's also mentioned in the scriptures. I mean, Paul, even himself, right, when he was on the road, he was being followed by this woman who was inhabited by an evil spirit, and she was the property of somebody. She was owned. And the time what they would do is they would own somebody, and then they would welcome a demon to come into that person, and they would use that demon as a fortune teller. And what did the demon get out of it? Well, the demon got to taste and touch and feel and smell and blah, 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 and all that. And even in Christ's time, you know, they were tormenting the bodies and all of that, and wanting more and more sensation. They have insatiable appetites for sensuality and sensation and sensuality. So, you know, even when Jesus was casting the demon out, they wanted to go inside of the pigs rather than into the nothingness, right? So he did, and all the pigs went off the edge of the cliff, and the town people had a little fit, and, you know, things ensued and all of that. So the evil spirits are real, and there's also enough evidence to tell us that they are territorial, right? So the Middle Eastern spirits stay over in the Middle East, and the ones that might be on the American continent stay on the American continent, unless there is transportation and or permission. You know, the old vampire legend, some of that stuff kind of holds true there. So that's just kind of the premise. But now we get back to, well, why would they want to change our frequency? Because when we become aware, you know, we talked about on Wednesday night about ascension, we're going to talk a little bit about this too. Am I talking about our bodies become energy and we go, ooh, we lift up? No, that would probably be more closer to the rapture or something like that. I'm talking about an ascension of consciousness. The real ascension, the ascension of the awareness. The awareness of what is going on around us. The type of awareness I do believe that Elijah had when he could see the flaming, you know, chariots of God in the sky. He could see what was there that his servant and his partner there, Elisha, could not see. They were at a different frequency, but Elijah had the gift of being able to see that. And so he knew that they were surrounded by the chariots of God. He knew it. So what happened with Elijah, well, he couldn't see, well, his frequency wasn't high enough yet to be able to see it. So he couldn't. And then so Elijah's like, God, you know, show him. And so God showed him, and Elijah's eyes were open, and all of a sudden he saw the sky filled with the chariots of God, with God's armies. They were there the whole time. He just didn't see them. He hadn't had his frequency adjusted high enough into that place where he could see it. And is it always a matter of faith? No, sometimes you can have all the faith in the world, but there's a little missing ingredient. God goes, bing, there it goes, right? And I don't know what the missing ingredient is. You know, I could say it's you know, ramen noodles, and I wouldn't be right or wrong or whatever. I don't know that missing ingredient. God has that recipe. So we know, just in the scriptures back it up, that there is stuff all around us that we do not see. And our senses have become dulled through, pick a medicine, pick a frequency on the television, pick a violent scene on the television, pick a chakra level, a lower level, a base root chakra level love scene, right? That's nearly soft porn, if not during regular primetime hours. How can we get out of our lower chakra thinking if we're continuously being bombarded with lower chakra signals? And I'm speaking this way for a reason, because even Jesus himself said, Christ himself said, you know, if your right eye offends thee, pluck it out. Now, I don't expect everybody to take their eyes out and go around half blind. And there's a whole bunch of parallels that go along with that line as well. But understand that we are responsible for fine-tuning the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are coming up on some amazing times, biblical times, where the Spirit will be poured out upon the planet, upon the whole face of the earth, that God's Spirit's going to be poured out. And it's going to shake people's bodies. And it's going to shake their mind. And we're going to start seeing things that are there that we didn't know were there. And I want to prepare you folks for this. So, but before we do, before we get there, let me explain what's been keeping us from being able to see some of these things already. Now, you guys know that the Schumann frequency, the frequency of the earth vibrates at a yada, 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 right? Okay, so the evil spirits, they want to keep the frequency lower. So they want to lower it. What happens to us as individuals, as people, as a species, and not just us, but all of the species on the planet, we become less than, right? And we don't, it's a little harder to hear the frequency of God, because the whole frequency of our environment has been turned down a little bit, right? And so those people that we consider anomalies that maybe can hear the voice of God, you know, we think them aberrations because we can't imagine hearing the same things. And the reason we can't is because pick a poison, whether it's fluoride, whether it's additives, whether it's all the junk that's in the supposed food, or whether it's the not quite food that they feed us at some of the fast food restaurants. We'll talk about that Monday night, what's going on in the fast food restaurants. Maybe wait till Wednesday. We'll see how everything plays out. So the frequency of prayer is contagious. It's a contagious frequency. And the mathematical equation that Greg Baden did was, I believe it was the square root of 1% of the population. So in other words, if the population of 100,000 people in an area, 11 people praying can shift the whole frequency of the area, just 11 people, I believe that's the square root of 1%. You may need to do my math and check that, but it's pretty close. It's an amazingly low number compared to the population that the prayer warriors are able to shift. And that's what I wanted to share with you, is that power of prayer and the power of frequency, and not just sound frequency, but prayer frequency as well. It becomes very, very contagious. So with, you know, back, we've talked before about the Battle of Jericho, you know, how everyone was really quiet and they were marching around. God said, you know, on the seventh day, you march around seven times on the seventh day, you know, you shout with everything that you've got. You know, and against the walls and the reverberations and the frequency, it all tumbled right down. The reverberation and the frequency, absolutely, they became the great big old reverberation. And the walls fell down. They basically had made a sonic wave all the way around it, and there was no relief. So that's an example of sound frequency. Now, we also know that data can be traveled through the airwaves because we intercept it through Wi-Fi all the time. So I'm going to suggest to you that it's not that far of a stretch that other frequencies can be intercepted with and interfered with and all of that. So back to the question that we asked at the beginning, we're going to go to a break here and answer it on the other side. What is it that the darkness could gain by keeping us all sad? By keeping us all down, by keeping us, you know, all almost awake, right? Almost awake, on the verge of it, and then life starts to happen and we go back to sleep for a little bit. We don't think anymore because we have to survive that root chakra again, right? That survival chakra. And then we start studying a little bit more, and we wake up a little bit more, and we start reaching a little bit higher, then all of a sudden life starts to come in, and boom, we're back down into the first and second chakra, arguing over our third. Those are relationships and attachments. So this becomes a cycle, right? Just as a frequency is a cycle of vibrations, this whole cycle seems to be repeating itself. We don't have to let that do that, and that's what this particular age is going to be different. We're stopping that cycle, and we're stopping the cycle by being able to inform the public about what's going on, and we're going to talk more about that on the other side of the break. Let me go ahead and go into the chat room real quick to see if there's anybody there, and I don't see anybody there. There you have that. All right, so now I guess I just opened it. I didn't have it open before. So we're talking about frequency. We're talking about why it's important You know, on Wednesday night, we talked about the darkness interfering with it, and we talked about the VMAT2 gene and the God gene, the one that it gets excited when we hear things about Scripture and about God, and that little area of our brain that lights up like a Christmas tree because we have an affinity for those things of holiness, an affinity for God. And we're built that way. We are built to talk to God, and there's just been a lot of stuff that's gotten in the middle of it. Now, there's a particular song that I'm looking to see if I have, and I may not have it. It's a Michael O'Brien song, and although I have one of his uploaded, I don't have the one that I was looking for. So we will play the other one because it's a wonderful song as well. And that is by Michael O'Brien. Now, he's still an artist, but he talks about, you know, he has a testimony and a witness that it's just amazing to listen to as well. He's an amazing artist, and he uses his gift for the Lord. And I had the pleasure of being able to see him in concert. I think it was in 1996. Oh, yeah, that was a while ago. So this is old school contemporary Christian. You know, it's not the 7-Eleven that you hear today, the seven verses repeated 11 times over and over again. This actually has a message. And this is Michael O'Brien, and the name of the song is "And the Story Goes On." And understand that all through the age, I love the way he puts this, there's always a soldier to carry the cross. And we're at a time now where we will be called upon to come together and pray together, even if we're not holding hands, even if we can't see each other, even if we don't know who each other is. But to be praying continuously for the healing of the planet. If tragedy comes upon, if we start hearing a bunch of bad news, understand that the adversary wants to bring us away from our knees, right, and get us shivering in the corner rather than kneeling like soldiers and taking it to the Lord. You know, some people might be fighting a physical battle, but, you know, we can fight this battle best on our knees, just like in the days of Gideon. Right, when power, it caused confusion in the camp of the adversary. And I want to tell you, the patriots are on the march. They are throwing some truth out there in a manner that is, what we said, unignorable. And the mainstream media is refusing to tell the truth, so the patriots keep doing this. Now, we're not going to hear all this song. It is a 5-minute song. We don't need to take that long of a break. Michael O'Brien and the Story Goes On. We'll be back.
I heard the tale of a man with love in his eyes and hope in his hands. Heard that he showed us a way and lit up the dark. I heard that his kingdom had come. Mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, and to all those who followed his voice, he changed every heart. It's not just on pages of history. Not simply chiseled in stone, it's kept in the depth of the soul. And the story goes on, and it burns like a flame through the years and the tears and the trials. The story goes on, and we carry his name, and it echoes across all the lines. We enter with a light, with a whisper and cry. Sometimes we in pain or in death, his name always stayed on their lips and has passed down to mine. So I'm following all those before me, and even long after I'm gone, the message of Christ will be heard. there's hope for the lost. There's always a soldier to carry the cross. Cause the story is the ruin, and the story is the change in this world. And the story goes on, and it burns like a flame, through the years and the tears and the trials.
Broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter, it's Leander Grace That Loud. Amid lies we seek truth, amid truth we awaken, and once awakened we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night, empowering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, no protection with the silence, right? But shouting the truth from the rooftop, now that carries some weight. All right, welcome back here to the broadcast. It is Scriptures and Scuttlebutts. I am your host, Leander Grace, and we are talking about prayer. The power of prayer, the reason for prayer, to bring a petition, what prayer does for us when we bring our prayers to God, right? Instead of belly aching to our brothers and our sisters and our neighbors and our cousins, or instead of belly aching when we bring our petitions to God, the differences and why, especially going forward right now. You know, we are in a humongous spiritual battle. We are in an information war. Trying to get the truth out. I'm not alone in this. I'm small potatoes here. But, you know, as all the patriots and the digital soldiers and all those, you know, put that information out, it's a constant battle to get around the algorithms, a constant battle to get around some of the cheesy stuff. It's a battle to get around some of the misinformation. Now, disinformation may be necessary, but getting around the misinformation, you know, because there's a lot of people that get paid a lot of money to put out a lot of lies to make the people who are telling the truth look foolish. And so that's why we have to be very discerning when we're going through the news feeds and all of that. And I know that my listeners by now have completely stopped listening to mainstream media news, except for perhaps an occasional little bit of it. I don't know. It's your choice. I just thought I'd throw that out there. So frequency, the frequency of prayer, the frequency of petition to a higher power, right? Rather than asking, you know, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. But, you know, an honest petition to a power greater than ourselves, to God, right? It's a humbling experience. We know that we can't do it on our own. It changes our frequency. And when our prayers are fulfilled, hopefully, you know, we have gratitude and that raises the frequency again, right? And then it becomes a paying it forward, and it becomes a contagion. It becomes an energetic contagion, you know, doing nice things and all of that in an area. It becomes an energetic contagion. Now, what happens if energetic contagion gets on a roll and starts growing and starts all this and all starts that? Something's going to happen. It's going to be on the news to avert your attention from the goodness and remind you of something negative. Why? Because, now this is where it gets kind of weird. This is where it gets where we have to, what is it that Q says we have to, or Joanne says we have to expand our thinking, right? So, and I'm going to use the analogy, the only one that's really available to me is that of the Matrix. Now, you remember, I don't know if anybody has seen the Matrix. What is that? What is that one where they go in and they watch themselves? Oh, man, I'm going to mess it up. Not Resurrections, the one after that. Anyway, it's where the one with Doogie in it, right, and all of that. And basically what it is that he was using Trinity and Neo as batteries, keeping them just close enough to have that yearning energy and that negative whatever to power the stuff. But if they were ever able to, you know, join and be yummy and stuff, then everything would fall apart. All right, so the reason I'm using that as bizarre as it sounds is because the darkness uses us like that, uses the human race as a negative battery. So when they can make us feel misery and make us angry and frustrated and all of that stuff and get our personal auras, oh, I know, Christians, you're going to be okay with this, really, trust me. Think of transfiguration. You'll be okay. So get our auras, right, to be depleted to where we're living in the root chakra, which is nothing more than survival with no executive functioning going on whatsoever, right? Being captive, being enslaved, not being able to move beyond, fill in the blank of what barrier. Whether we have a cage or not, the hostageness is implied and has been accepted for way over 2 weeks. So the frequency is becomes lower, right? And what does that do? It powers the darkness. Does that mean they're winning? No, no. No, because there's enough people that can see through it. Some can even see through the veil and see the battle that's going on and know that God won. Now it's a matter of informing the public that God won. And some of the heroes will come out, you know, for the curtain call. I don't know if I'm making that up, but it's just coming out of my mouth. So I'm just going to kind of let that flow. All right, so take that for what it's worth. And we'll be able to clean up. But what we do have coming up is a great big flash somewhere. I mean, we're expecting the sun to do some weird stuff. And then we're also expecting, we know that CERN is going to be turned up full blast and higher than it's ever been. We don't know the long-term effects, but we know there's going to be some energetic effects. And this is what I'm wondering, truly, truly and truly. What I'm wondering is if we're all going to have an Elisha moment. Right? I'm wondering, because you get all of these variables going together. You got an astrological Maseroth alignment going on, right? You got this solar thing that we're expecting to have a solar burst or flash or some kind of a thingy-bopper going on with that. And then they're going to be turning CERN up like, you know, a mad dog going on steroids. And so there's just going to be a lot of stuff. And I'm wondering, and I'm truly wondering about this, of whether we're all going to have some Elisha moments. And maybe we'll be able to see God in the sky. I don't know. I'm not trying to project an image or an expectation or any of that stuff, but there's a lot of building of things. And what I mean is there's a lot of building of expectation of events, like not to prepare us. Right, we've been told to get ready, to be ready. There's going to be an event. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. You know, the deep state's fighting back. We're told constantly to prepare. And now it seems as though we have a convergence of events. Now, I want to tell you, the light is winning. God's winning. How do we know? Well, the Second Amendment's protected. Innocent unborn life is protected with the reversal of Roe v. Wade. Now God can, rather than holding our nation corporately responsible for the death of unborn children and the slaughter of innocents, now God can concentrate his anger and wrath on the states that are going to allow it. Oh, I said it. And I don't have any problem saying the truth of it. Remember when God went to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and he sent his angels. You know, Abraham said, are you going to destroy the if there's good people there too? I mean, you're like God. You're not going to destroy the good with the bad. And what did God say? He goes, no, not even if there's one will I destroy the city. And so he directly went and had his angels get locked the hell out that city because he was going to level it. That's exactly what he did. He leveled it after he got the believers out because he kept his word to Abraham. No, I'm going to get them people out before I level that city. I'm not going to destroy the good with the wicked. So there you have that. Prayer. And as far as what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah, you can go through the other episodes, and I laid it out a little succinctly in that. So prayer, it raises our frequency, and it starves the enemy. It starves the enemy of the negative frequency that it absolutely requires to survive. And it requires that negative frequency because, now this is just me guessing and interpreting, but it would seem to me it might be their way of substituting some form of tactile stuff. I don't know. I'm just kind of made that up and it came out. We'll see where that falls, right? But I know they're obsessed with the sensual, with the tactile and all of that. And that the energies that are created during certain things, you know, they feed off of that. And they hover. And they influence telepathically. Not unlike when we were talking Wednesday, how they have the energy weapons that can be pointed at the brainstem and affect your mood, your thoughts, your ability to speak, your ability to reason, and all of the rest. So I would think of the demons and the dimensional beings as nothing more than walking, talking, or floating around. I don't know how they ambulate, you know, energy weapons. Which is why we need to have the whole armor of God on and be praying nonstop. Because these events that are coming up, we don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm thinking we're going to have some Elisha moments, you know, and God's going to show us. I could be wrong. I could be right. Could be wrong. But that's the way I'm looking at it. And that has to do with some of the research that, you know, that I've been doing lately on these frequencies and some of the rituals and the worship that the darkness requires to fuel, right? And so it becomes a chessboard. They already lost, and now we need to inform the public. And I know that a lot of people are waiting for arrests and waiting for this and waiting for that. Guys, they're happening. The news isn't telling them. That doesn't mean they're not happening. And we've got digital soldiers all over the place reporting about all of the rings that are being busted and all of that stuff. So the filth that propagates the lower frequencies, especially to our children, that filth that is acting as a contagion to infect our children with the virus of pedophilia, or at least victimhood, right? To attack the soul early, to break it, hopefully, is what they want to do, is to break our children and then feed off that energy of brokenness. We don't need to allow that anymore. That's where the fight is. That's where the war is. It's for the children, for the littles, for those who do not have a say and cannot fight for themselves and have been invisible for a very long time as a commodity, nearly under our very noses, because we didn't know to pay attention, for one. I mean, who thinks about that? Hey. So this is where we're at. We won. The filth is being cleaned up, and pretty soon a lot of it will be revealed. And all of the soldiers and the underground Anons and all of those that have been helping the whole time, they'll be revealed as well, the ones who want to come out. Some may want to keep their anonymity and not be in the limelight, which is what drove them underground in the first place. So while we have been very much enjoying everything about Hollywood and being entertained and, you know, and worshiping at the altar of the next American Idol and whoever they told us was the next Academy Award, and we were rooting for them as if they were our own cousin, and the whole time these very people that we're rooting for were hurting our children. Because that's what was required in order for them to get ahead in the business. And not just the Hollywood business, but in politics. Which branch? All of them. Which nation? All of them. What level? All of them. This has branched out and become a thing, an abhorrence upon humanity. And we haven't seen it. We haven't known what to look for. And then when President Trump came into office, we all got to see it big, bold, loud, and loud, right in our faces. And it took a while to be able to look. But here we are on the raggedy edge of winning, on the raggedy edge of waking up and seeing things as they are, not just as we want them to be. It's a come to reality time. And the reason why now, well, I can't say that the reason why now, but the reason why now that I am striking a warning up is because I have a feeling, pretty good idea that it's going to be very soon. That some things will be turned off and some things will be turned on, and the world's going to change. And the world's not necessarily going to change so much as what we see is going to change, and the way we see the world is going to change, because we're going to start seeing things the way they are. We need to. We have to get past this little humpy do where we can't see past the end of our nose because we're living in survival world. You know, we're not able to think beyond the next paycheck because surviving is important. We don't have time to get involved in fill in the blank because we're too busy surviving. And that is a lower energy. That is a first chakra. That is a red state to be in. Okay, and it's alarming. So the next one up is you know, in the second chakra is going to be about in the navel area, and that's and then up into the solar plexus, and that's where we have our attachments, right, and our intuition, and then up in our heart, that's where all of the spark, all of the energy begins, is in our heart. And then from there we go up into our throat chakra, and that's where we communicate. And a lot of times when I'm communicating a topic that's difficult for me to talk about, I'll get a tickle in my throat, or I'll get a dry spell in the back of my throat because that particular topic is difficult for me to get out. So, and then of course we go into, and you can see that on the Blog Talk Radio page, we have that little sparkly thing there, right, on the forehead, which is the pineal gland or the third eye or the psychic eye or the imagination, that place, right? And it says in the scripture, you know, when it's quoted there in Matthew, when our eye is single, when your eye becomes single, you know, then it becomes full of light. And there are those wisdom teachers who believe, and a lot of scriptural teachers as well, and I happen to be one of them, that there's that Christ was speaking himself about our intuitive knowing, our intuitive eye, our ability to perceive rather than just to see with our eyes, but to perceive the greater sense of what's going on, to be able to hear the undertones of the things that's going on. Because, guys, as long as we're being kept in a state of war, as long as we're being kept divided, as long as we're being kept at each other's throats, as long as we're calling each other's names, we're not going to rise above it. Our whole consciousness is going to just keep sinking. We're not going to rise above it and ascend into a better space of thinking. And I think that we're going to end up doing that anyway, and I don't want to see anybody left behind. Right? We are going to be stepping out of this slavery of debt financing, and we're going to be stepping into a time of abundance. The monetary system is changing. We've been told that, and we've been trying to inform the public. Why is it that the mainstream media is not reporting it? You know, I don't know. I don't know if they're being told not to, or if they're trying not to, or what their motivation is. We'll have to see how that part plays out. We also know that, well, we just found out that the income tax folks got hacked, right? That was something. I don't know everything about it. I just saw the headline come across my desk. So I do believe that, Mr. Putin has openly accused Obama and Hillary and those whole messes of people of doing dirty dealings. So we'll see how those things play out. Now, understand, this is all about getting the public informed. Getting the public informed. Somebody asked me one time, why is it that, you know, these two people were arguing. Well, who do you believe? They wanted me to pick a side on these two people that were in the middle of, seemingly in the middle of an argument. And I said, well, I don't see any other way to get this piece of information out except have two patriots be arguing with each other. Everybody wants to talk about the patriots arguing. So as they argue about this topic gets out into the mainstream media. I don't know. Could be. Maybe so. Maybe not. Don't know. Don't have the inside scoop on every little thing. But I do know that God won. I do know that the monsters are being cleaned up, and I do know that we'll probably end up with some perp walks soon. And you know, we've heard that over and over, soon, soon. Well, it's always soon. They have had perp walks. We have had people arrested. And in the most slyest and overt way, we've tried to alert the public with different videos showing the arrests and showing that, sometimes through parody, but we're showing what's going on. And at least I'm showing what comes across my desk. You know, I don't know what we're missing, so we probably could be missing some things. But that's what we're talking about, guys. We're talking about frequency now. And we're talking about, you know, we talked about the 5G towers and all of that on Wednesday night's program, and how, you know, the frequency can affect our blood chemistry and our mood and all of the things. And it's no different than with prayer. And so I do want to say this, you know, if it turns out that all this convergence of anomalies, ooh, that sounded really cool, didn't it? That sounded very sci-fi, the convergence of anomalies. If it all occurs and something spectacular happens and we all have an Elisha moment, wouldn't it be nice to know that the armies of the Lord are in the sky watching over us and battling the evil? That would be cool to see. Don't know we're going to see that. I'm just coming up with an example. That would be amazing. So we'll see what happens as we get closer to that date. We'll see how it goes on. I do want to go ahead and refer folks to some of my mentors as we wind down this part of the program. I do want to give you some additional study material to have over the weekend if you so choose. And that is some of the work of Dr. Chuck Missler. You can find him on YouTube. And the Electric Universe, I think, is one of the ones that he has out there. It's a really good explanation of our universe from an electromagnetic standpoint, and explains, well, he'll explain it. Also, the Transhumanism collection for his. And if you guys want to just spend a day with popcorn and learning the word, he also has a really awesome series of Learn the Bible in 24 Hours. And he covers a lot of material on that. And, you know, I've said before that he's a rapture guy, and I wasn't necessarily a rapture girl. But I tell you what, I've been back into the scriptures and looking at some of the things, and about changed my mind. I think he was right on it about a lot of things, and it just took me a little while to come around to it. So I'm not too proud to say, hey, I might not have gotten that picture right. But the skepticism holding out for me when I finally came around, I know it was beyond a shadow of a doubt. So there you have that. I am your host, Leander Grace. It's been my pleasure to bring you the broadcast tonight, talking about frequency, talking about prayer, talking about the darkness using our negativity to fuel themselves, right, keep us in a lower state. So I'm going to challenge you guys to do what it is that's necessary. Sometimes it's just smiling at people and letting them smile back to raise your frequency. And, you know, sometimes it's just coming to terms with some things. So we'll cover that going forward if we have the opportunity to in the other programs, but I do recommend those. Also, some material from Greg Braden, The Secret of the Essene Mirrors, E-S-S-E-N-E-S. Essene is singular, Essenes is plural, so do your searches accordingly. And there's another one that we'll bring up on either Monday or next Friday that he has where our DNA is coded by God, and I didn't have an opportunity to upload it tonight. I wish I had. But we are encoded with the name of God, and we react with the frequency of God. And we're going to be going through a lot of shaking and baking. There's going to be a lot of spiritual awakening going on nearly overnight. And some people will wake up upset because it's going to be uncomfortable. Sometimes it feels like you're going a little bit nuts, and you do for about 2 or 3 days maybe. But you'll calm back down as long as you understand that it's just a temporary thing. We plan on being on the air on Monday, so until next time when we're live on the broadcast or the podcast, we're reminding you to, as always, to watch for those signposts, to connect the dots, and to find your path, and to live in love as we do something good, and learn to forgive. Until next time, good night.